Book 7. The Argument. Raphael, at the request of Adam, relates how and wherefore this world was first created, that God, after the expelling of Satan and his angels out of heaven, declared his pleasure to create another world, and other creatures to dwell therein, sends his Son with glory and attendance of angels to perform the work of creation in 6 days. The angels celebrate with hymns the performance thereof, and his reascension into heaven. Descend from heaven, Urania, by that name, if rightly thou art called, whose voice divine following, above the Olympian hill I saw, above the flight of Pegasian wing, the meaning, not the name I call. For thou, nor of the Muses nine, nor on the top of old Olympus dwellst, but heavenly born, before the hills appeared or fountain flowed, thou with eternal wisdom didst converse, wisdom thy sister, and with her didst play in presence of the Almighty Father, pleased with thy celestial song. Up, led by thee into the heaven of heavens, I have presumed an earthly guest, and drawn empyreal air. Thy tempering, with like safety guided down, return me to my native element, lest from this flying steed unreined, as once Bellerophon, though from a lower clime, dismounted on the Eleian field I fall, erroneous there to wander and forlorn. Half, yet, remains unsung, but narrower bound within the visible diurnal sphere. Standing on earth, not wrapped above the pole, more safe I sing with mortal voice, unchanged to hoarse or mute, though fallen on evil days though fallen, and evil tongues, in darkness and with dangers compassed round, and solitude, yet not alone while thou visit'st my slumbers nightly, or when morn purples the east, still govern thou my song, Urania, and fit audience find, though few. But drive far off the barbarous dissonance of Bacchus and his revellers, the race of that wild rout that tore the Thracian bard in Rhodope, where woods and rocks had ears to rapture, till the savage clamour drowned both harp and voice, nor could the muse defend her son. So fail not thou who thee implores, for thou art heavenly, she an empty dream. Say, goddess, what ensued when Raphael, the affable archangel, had forewarned Adam by dire example to beware apostasy, by what befell in heaven to those apostates, lest the like befall in paradise to Adam or his race, charged not to touch the interdicted tree, if they transgress and slight that sole command, so easily obeyed amid the choice of all tastes else to please their appetite, though wandering. He with his consorted Eve the story heard attentive, and was filled with admiration and deep muse to hear of things so high and strange, things to their thought so unimaginable as hate in heaven, and war so near the peace of God in bliss with such confusion. But the evil soon driven back redounded as a flood on those from whom it sprung, impossible to mix with blessedness. Whence Adam soon repealed the doubts that in his heart arose, and now led on, yet sinless, with desire to know what nearer might concern him, how this world of heaven and earth conspicuous first began, when and whereof created, for what cause, what within Eden or without was done before his memory, as one whose drought yet scarce allayed still eyes the current stream, whose liquid murmur heard new thirst excites, proceeded thus to ask his heavenly guest. Great things, and full of wonder in our ears, far differing from this world thou hast revealed, divine interpreter, by favour sent down from the Empyrean to forewarn us timely of what might else have been our loss, unknown, which human knowledge could not reach, for which to the infinitely good we owe immortal thanks, and his admonishment receive with solemn purpose to observe immutably his sovereign will, the end of what we are. But since thou hast vouchsafed gently for our instruction to impart things above earthly thought which yet concerned our knowing, as to highest wisdom seemed, deign to descend now lower, and relate what may no less perhaps avail us known, how first began this heaven which we behold distant so high, with moving fires adorned innumerable, and this which yields or fills all space, the ambient air wide interfused, embracing round this florid earth, What cause moved the Creator in his holy rest through all eternity so late to build in chaos, and the work begun how soon absolved, if unforbid thou mayst unfold what we, not to explore the secrets, ask of his eternal empire, but the more to magnify his works, the more we know. And the great light of day yet wants to run much of his race through steep suspense in heaven held by thy voice. Thy potent voice he hears, and longer will delay to hear thee tell his generation, and the rising birth of nature from the unapparent deep. Or if the star of heaven and the moon haste to thy audience, night with her will bring silence, and sleep listening to thee will watch, or we can bid his absence till thy song end, and dismiss thee ere the morning shine. Thus Adam his illustrious guest besought, and thus the godlike angel answered mild. This also thy request with caution asked, obtain. Though to recount almighty works, what words or tongue of seraph can suffice, or heart of man suffice to comprehend? Yet what thou canst attain, which best may serve to glorify the Maker, and infer thee also happier, shall not be withheld thy hearing. Such commission from above I have received, to answer thy desire of knowledge within bounds. Beyond, abstain to ask, nor let thine own inventions hope things not revealed, which the invisible King, only omniscient, hath suppressed in night, to none communicable in earth or heaven. Enough is left, besides, to search and know. But knowledge is as food, and needs no less her temperance over appetite, to know in measure what the mind may well contain, oppresses else with surfeit, and soon turns wisdom to folly as nourishment to wind. Know then that after Lucifer from heaven, so call him, brighter once amidst the host of angels than that star the stars among, fell with his flaming legions through the deep into his place, and the great sun returned victorious with his saints, the omnipotent eternal Father from his throne beheld their multitude, and to his son thus spake. At least our envious foe hath failed, who thought all like himself rebellious, by whose aid this inaccessible high strength, the seat of deity supreme, us dispossessed, he trusted to have seized, and into fraud drew many whom their place knows here no more. Yet far the greater part have kept, I see, their station. Heaven yet populous retains number sufficient to possess her realms, though wide, and this high temple to frequent with ministries due and solemn rites. But lest his heart exalt him in the harm already done, to have dispeopled heaven my damage fondly deemed, I can repair that detriment, if such it be to lose self-lost, and in a moment will create another world, out of one man a race of men innumerable there to dwell, not here, till by degrees of merit raised they open to themselves at length the way up hither, under long obedience tried, and earth be changed to heaven and heaven to earth, one kingdom, joy and union without end. Meanwhile inhabit lax, ye powers of heaven, and thou my word begotten Son, by thee this I perform, speak thou and be it done. My overshadowing spirit and might with thee I send along, ride forth and bid the deep within appointed bounds be heaven and earth. Boundless the deep, because I am who fill infinitude, nor vacuous the space. Though I uncircumscribed myself retire, and put not forth my goodness, which is free to act or not, necessity and chance approach not me, and what I will is fate. So spake the Almighty, and to what he spake his word the filial Godhead gave effect. Immediate are the acts of God, more swift than time or motion, but to human ears cannot without process of speech be told, so told as earthly notion can receive. Great triumph and rejoicing was in heaven when such was heard, declared the Almighty's will. Glory they sung to the Most High, good will to future men, and in their dwellings peace. Glory to him whose just avenging ire had driven out the ungodly from his sight, and the habitations of the just. To him glory and praise, whose wisdom had ordained good out of evil, to create, instead of spirits malign, a better race, to bring into their vacant room, and thence diffuse his good to worlds and ages infinite. So sang the hierarchies. Meanwhile the sun, on his great expedition, now appeared, girt with omnipotence, with radiance crowned of majesty divine, sapience and love immense, and all his Father in him shone. About his chariot numberless were poured cherub and seraph, potentates and thrones, and virtues, winged spirits, and chariots winged, from the armoury of God, where stand of old myriads between two brazen mountains lodged against a solemn day, harnessed at hand, celestial equipage. And now came forth spontaneous, for within them spirit lived, attendant on their Lord. Heaven opened wide her ever-during gates, harmonious sound on golden hinges moving, to let forth the King of Glory in his powerful word, and spirit coming to create new worlds. On heavenly ground they stood, and from the shore they viewed the vast immeasurable abyss, outrageous as a sea, dark, wasteful, wild, up from the bottom turned by furious winds and surging waves, as mountains to assault heaven's height, and with the centre mix the pole. "Silence, ye troubled waves, and thou deep, peace," said then the omnific word, "your discord end." Nor stayed, but on the wings of cherubim uplifted in paternal glory rode far into chaos, and the world unborn, for chaos heard his voice, him all his train followed in bright procession to behold creation and the wonders of his might. Then stayed the fervid wheels, and in his hand he took the golden compasses, prepared in God's eternal store, to circumscribe this universe and all created things. One foot he centred, and the other turned round through the vast profundity obscure, and said, "Thus far extend, thus far thy bounds, this be thy just circumference, O world." Thus God the heaven created, thus the earth, matter unformed and void, darkness profound covered the abyss, but on the watery calm his brooding wings the Spirit of God outspread, and vital virtue infused, and vital warmth throughout the fluid mass, but downward purged the black Tartarius cold infernal dregs adverse to life, then founded, then conglobed like things to like, the rest to several place disparted, and between spun out the air, and earth self-balanced on her centre hung. "Let there be light," said God, and forthwith light ethereal, first of things, quintessence pure, sprung from the deep, and from her native east to journey through the airy gloom began, sphered in a radiant cloud, for yet the sun was not. She in a cloudy tabernacle sojourned the while. God saw the light was good, and light from darkness by the hemisphere divided, light the day and darkness night he named. Thus was the first day even and morn, nor passed uncelebrated, nor unsung by the celestial choirs, when orient light exhaling first from darkness they beheld, birthday of heaven and earth, with joy and shout the hollow universal orb they filled, and touched their golden harps, and hymning praised God and his works, creator hymn they sung, both when first evening was, and when first morn. Again God said, "Let there be firmament amid the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, expanse of liquid, pure, transparent, elemental air, diffused in circuit to the utmost convex of this great round, partition firm and sure, the waters underneath from those above dividing. For as earth, so he the world built on circumfluous waters calm, in wide crystalline ocean, and the loud misrule of chaos far removed, lest fierce extremes contiguous might distemper the whole frame. And heaven he named the firmament, so even and morning chorus sung the next day. The earth was formed, but in the womb as yet of waters embryon immature involved appeared not. Over all the face of earth, main ocean, flowed not idle, but with warm prolific humour, softening all her globe, fermented the great mother to conceive. Satiate with genial moisture, when God said, "Be gathered now, ye waters under heaven, into one place, and let dry land appear." Immediately the mountains huge appear emergent, and their broad bare backs upheave into the clouds, their tops ascend the sky. So high as heaved the tumid hills, so low down sunk a hollow bottom broad and deep, capacious bed of waters. Thither they hasted with glad precipitance, uprolled as drops on dust, congloaming from the dry, part rise in crystal wall or ridge direct, for haste, Such flight the great command impressed on the swift floods, as armies at the call of trumpet, for of armies thou hast heard, troop to their standard, so the watery throng, wave rolling after wave, where way they found, if steep with torrent rapture, if through plain soft ebbing, nor withstood them rock or hill, but they, or underground, or circuit wide, with serpent error wandering, found their way, and on the washy ooze deep channels wore. Easy, ere God had bid the ground be dry, all but within those banks, where rivers now stream, and perpetual draw their humid train. The dry land, earth, and the great receptacle of congregated waters he called seas, and saw that it was good, and said, Let the earth put forth the verdant grass, herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after her kind, whose seed is in herself upon the earth. He scarce had said when the bare earth, till then desert and bare, unsightly, unadorned, brought forth the tender grass whose verdure clad her universal face with pleasant green, then herbs of every leaf, that sudden flowered, opening their various colours, and made gay her bosom, smelling sweet, and these scarce blown, forth flourished thick the clustering vine, forth crept the swelling gourd, up stood the corny reed embattled in her field, and the humble shrub, and bush with frizzled hair implicit, last rose as in dance the stately trees, and spread their branches hung with copious fruit, or gemmed their blossoms. With high woods the hills were crowned, with tufts the valleys and each fountain-side, with borders long the rivers, that earth now seemed like to heaven, a seat where gods might dwell, or wander with delight, and love to haunt her sacred shades, though God had yet not reigned upon the earth, and man to till the ground none was, but from the earth a dewy mist went up and watered all the ground, and each plant of the field, which ere it was in the earth God made, and every herb before it grew on the green stem. God saw that it was good. So even and morn recorded the third day. Again the Almighty spake, Let there be lights high in the expanse of heaven, to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days, and circling years, and let them be for lights, as I ordain their office in the firmament of heaven, to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, great for their use to man, the greater to have rule by day, the less by night altern, and made the stars, and set them in the firmament of heaven to illuminate the earth, and rule the day in their vicissitude, and rule the night, and light from darkness to divide. God saw, surveying his great work, that it was good, for of celestial bodies first the sun, a mighty sphere he framed, unlightsome first, though of ethereal mould, then formed the moon globose, and every magnitude of stars, and sowed with stars the heaven thick as a field. Of light by far the greater part he took, transplanted from her cloudy shrine, and placed in the sun's orb, made porous to receive and drink the liquid light, firm to retain her gathered beams, great palace now of light. Hither as to their fountain other stars, repairing in their golden urns draw light, and hence the morning planet gilds her horns. By tincture or reflection they augment their small peculiar, though from human sight so far remote, with diminution seen. First in his east the glorious lamp was seen, regent of day and all the horizon round, invested with bright rays, jocund to run his longitude through heaven's high road. The grey dawn and the Pleiades before him danced, shedding sweet influence. Less bright the moon, but opposite in levelled west was set his mirror, with full face borrowing her light from him, for other light she needed none in that aspect, and still that distance keeps till night. Then in the east her turn she shines, revolved on heaven's great axle, and her reign with thousand lesser lights dividual holds, with thousand stars, that then appeared spangling the hemisphere, then first adorned with their bright luminaries that set and rose. Glad evening and glad morn crowned the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters generate reptile with spawn abundant, living soul, and let fowl fly above the earth, with wings displayed on the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great whales, and each soul living, each that crept, which plenteously the waters generated by their kinds, and every bird of wing after his kind, and saw that it was good, and blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, multiply, and in the seas and lakes and running streams the waters fill, and let the fowl be multiplied on the earth. Forthwith the sounds and seas, each creek and bay, with fry innumerable swarm, and shoals of fish that with their fins and shining scales glide under the green wave, in schools that oft bank the mid-sea, part single or with mate, graze the seaweed their pasture, and through groves of coral stray, or sporting with quick glance, show to the sun their waved coats dropped with gold, or in their pearly shells at ease attend moist nutriment, or under rocks their food in jointed armour watch. On smooth the seal and bended dolphins play, part huge of bulk, wallowing unwieldly, enormous in their gait, tempest the ocean, there leviathan, hugest of living creatures, on the deep stretched like a promontory, sleeps or swims, and seems a moving land, and at his gills draws in, and at his trunk spouts out a sea. Meanwhile the tepid caves and fens and shores their brood as numerous hatch from the egg that soon bursting with kindly rupture forth disclosed their callow young, but feathered soon and fledge they summed their pens, and soaring the air sublime with clang despised the ground under a cloud in prospect. There the eagle and the stork on cliffs and cedar tops their eyries build, part loosely wing the region, part more wise in common, ranged in figure wedge their way, intelligent of seasons, and set forth their airy caravan high over seas flying, and over lands with mutual wing easing their flight. So steers the prudent crane her annual voyage, borne on winds. The air floats as they pass, fanned with unnumbered plumes. From branch to branch the smaller birds with song solaced the woods, and spread their painted wings till even. Nor then the solemn nightingale ceased warbling, but all night tuned her soft lays. Others on silver lakes and rivers bathed their downy breast, the swan with arched neck between her white wings mantling proudly, rose her state with oary feet, yet oft they quit the dank, and rising on stiff pennons tower the mid-aerial sky. Others on ground walked firm, the crested cock, whose clarion sounds the silent hours, and the other whose gay train adorns him, coloured with a florid hue of rainbows and starry eyes. The waters thus with fish replenished, and the air with fowl, evening and morn solemnized the fifth day. The sixth, and of creation last, arose with evening harps and matin, when God said, Let the earth bring forth soul living in her kind, cattle and creeping things, and beast of the earth each in their kind. The earth obeyed, and straight opening her fertile womb, teemed at a birth in numerous living creatures, perfect forms, limbed and full grown. Out of the ground up rose as from his lair the wild beast, where he wons in forest wild, in thicket, brake, or den. Among the trees in pairs they rose, they walked, the cattle in the fields and meadows green, those rare and solitary, these in flocks, pasturing at once, and in broad herds upsprung. The grassy clods now carved, now half appeared the tawny lion, pawing to get free his hinder parts, then springs as broke from bounds, and rampant shakes his brinded mane. The ounce, the leopard, and the tiger as the mole, rising the crumbled earth above them through in hillocks. The swift stag from underground bore up his branching head. Scarce from his mould behemoth biggest, born of earth, upheaved his vastness. Fleeced the flocks, and bleating rose as plants, ambiguous between sea and land, the river-horse and scaly crocodile. At once came forth whatever creeps the ground, insect or worm. Those waved their limber fans for wings and smallest lineaments, exact in all the liveries decked of summer's pride with spots of gold and purple, azure and green. These as a line their long dimension drew, streaking the ground with sinuous trace, not all minims of nature. Some of serpent kind, wondrous in length and corpulence, involved their snaky folds and added wings. First crept the parsimonious emmet, provident of future, in small room large heart enclosed, pattern of just equality, perhaps, hereafter, joined in her popular tribes of commonality. Swarming next appeared the female bee that feeds her husband drone deliciously and builds her waxen cells with honey stored. The rest are numberless, and thou their natures knowest and gavest them names, needless to thee repeated. Nor unknown, the serpent, subtlest beast of all the field, of huge extent sometimes, with brazen eyes and hairy mane terrific, though to thee not noxious, but obedient at thy call. Now heaven in all her glory shone, and rolled her motions, as the great first mover's hand first wheeled their course. Earth in her rich attire consummate lovely smiled. Air, water, earth, by foul fish, beast, was flown, was swum, was walked frequent, and of the sixth day yet remained. There wanted yet the masterwork, the end of all yet done, a creature who not prone and brute as other creatures, but endued with sanctity of reason, might erect his stature, and upright with front serene govern the rest, self-knowing, and from thence magnanimous to correspond with heaven. But grateful to acknowledge whence his good descends, thither with heart and voice and eyes directed in devotion to adore and worship God supreme, who made him chief of all his works. Therefore the omnipotent eternal Father, for where is not he present, thus to his Son audibly spake. Let us make now man in our image, man in our similitude, and let them rule over the fish and fowl of sea and air, beast of the field, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps the ground. This said, he formed thee, Adam, thee, O man, dust of the ground, and in thy nostrils breathed the breath of life. In his own image he created thee, in the image of God express, and thou becamest a living soul. Male he created thee, but thy consort female for race. Then blessed mankind, and said, Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, and throughout dominion hold over fish of the sea and fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. Wherever thus created, for no place is yet distinct by name, thence, as thou knowest, he brought thee into this delicious grove, this garden, planted with the trees of God, delectable both to behold and taste. And freely all their pleasant fruit for food gave thee, all sorts are here that all the earth yields, variety without end. But of the tree which tasted works knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not. In the day thou eatst, thou diest. Death is the penalty imposed. Beware, and govern well thy appetite, lest sin surprise thee and her black attendant death. Here finished he, and all that he had made, viewed, and behold, all was entirely good. So even and morn accomplished the sixth day. Yet not till the Creator from his work desisting, thou unwearied, up returned up to the heaven of heavens his high abode, thence to behold this new created world, the addition of his empire, how it showed in prospect from his throne, how good, how fair, answering his great idea. Up he rode, followed with acclamation and the sound symphonious of 10,000 harps that tuned angelic harmonies. The earth, the air, resounded, thou rememberest, for thou heardst. The heavens and all the constellations rung, the planets in their station listening stood, while the bright pomp ascended jubilant. Open, ye everlasting gates, they sung. Open, ye heavens, your living doors, let in the great Creator from his work returned, magnificent, his 6 days' work a world. Open, and henceforth oft, for God will deign to visit oft the dwellings of just men, delighted, and with frequent intercourse thither will send his winged messengers on errands of supernal grace. So sung the glorious train ascending, he through heaven, that opened wide her blazing portals, led to God's eternal house direct the way, a broad and ample road, whose dust is gold and pavement stars, as stars to thee appear, seen in the galaxy, that milky way which nightly as a circling zone thou seest powdered with stars. And now on earth the seventh evening arose in Eden, for the sun was set, and twilight from the east came on, forerunning night, when at the holy mount of heaven's high-seated top, the imperial throne of Godhead, fixed for ever firm and sure, the filial power arrived, and sat him down with his great Father, for he also went invisible, yet stayed, such privilege hath omnipresence, and the work ordained. Author and end of all things, and from work now resting, blessed and hallowed the seventh day, as resting on that day from all his work, but not in silence wholly kept. The harp had work and rested not, the solemn pipe and dulcimer, all organs of sweet stop, all sounds on fret by string or golden wire, tempered soft tunings, intermixed with voice, choral or unison, of incense clouds fuming from golden censers hid the mount. Creation and the 6 days' acts, they sung, great are thy works, Jehovah, infinite thy power. What thought can measure thee or tongue relate thee? Greater now in thy return than from the giant angels. Thee that day thy thunders magnified, but to create is greater than created to destroy. Who can impair thee, mighty king, or bound thy empire? Easily the proud attempt of spirits apostate and their counsels vain thou hast repelled, while impiously they thought thee to diminish, and from thee withdraw the number of thy worshippers. Who seeks to lessen thee against his purpose serves to manifest the more thy might. His evil thou usest, and from thence createst more good. Witness this new-made world, another heaven from heaven-gate not far, founded in view of the clear high-line, the glassy sea, of amplitude almost immense, with stars numerous, and every star perhaps a world of destined habitation. But thou knowest their seasons. Among these the seat of men, earth, with her nether ocean circumfused, their pleasant dwelling-place. Thrice happy men, and sons of men, whom God hath thus advanced, created in his image, there to dwell and worship him, and in reward to rule over his works on earth, in sea or air, and multiply a race of worshippers holy and just, thrice happy if they know their happiness and persevere upright. So sung they, and the Empyrean rung with hallelujahs. Thus was Sabbath kept. And thy request think now fulfilled, that asked how first this world and face of things began, and what before thy memory was done from the beginning, that posterity informed by thee might know. If else thou seek'st aught, not surpassing human measure, say.
Book 8. The Argument. Adam inquires concerning celestial motions, is doubtfully answered, and exhorted to search rather things more worthy of knowledge. Adam assents, and still desirous to detain Raphael, relates to him what he remembered since his own creation, his placing in paradise, his talk with God concerning solitude and fit society, his first meeting and nuptials with Eve, his discourse with the angel thereupon, who, after admonitions repeated, departs. The angel ended, and in Adam's ear so charming left his voice that he a while thought him still speaking, still stood fixed to hear, then, as new waked, thus gratefully replied, "What thanks sufficient, or what recompense equal, have I to render thee, divine historian, who thus largely hast allayed the thirst I had of knowledge, and vouchsafed this friendly condescension to relate things else by me unsearchable, now heard with wonder, but delight, and, as is due, with glory attributed to the high Creator? Something yet of doubt remains, which only thy solution can resolve. When I behold this goodly frame, this world of heaven and earth consisting, and compute their magnitudes, this earth a spot, a grain, an atom, with the firmament compared, and all her numbered stars, that seem to roll spaces incomprehensible, for such their distance argues, and their swift return diurnal, merely to officiate light round this opacious earth, this punctual spot, one day and night, in all their vast survey, useless besides, reasoning I oft admire how nature, wise and frugal, could commit such disproportions, with superfluous hand so many nobler bodies to create, greater so manifold to this one use, for aught appears, and on their orbs impose such restless revolution day by day repeated, while the sedentary earth, that better might with far less compass move, served by more noble than herself, attains her end without least motion, and receives as tribute such a sumless journey brought of incorporeal speed her warmth and light, speed to describe whose swiftness number fails. So spake our sire, and by his countenance seemed entering on studious thoughts abstruse, which Eve, perceiving where she sat, retired in sight, with loneliness majestic from her seat, and grace that one who saw to wish her stay, rose and went forth among her fruits and flowers, to visit how they prospered, bud and bloom, her nursery. They at her coming sprung and touched by her fair tendance gladlier grew. Yet when she not, as not with such discourse delighted, or not capable her ear of what was high, such pleasure she reserved Adam relating, she sole auditress. Her husband the relator she preferred before the angel, and of him to ask chose rather. He, she knew, would intermix grateful digressions, and solve high dispute with conjugal caresses. From his lips not words alone pleased her. Oh, when meet now such pairs, in love and mutual honour joined? With goddess-like demeanour forth she went, not unattended, for on her as queen a pomp of winning graces waited still, and from about her shot darts of desire into all eyes to wish her still in sight. And Raphael now to Adam's doubt proposed, benevolent and facile thus replied: "To ask or search I blame thee not, for heaven is as the book of God before thee set, wherein to read his wondrous works, and learn his seasons, hours, or days, or months, or years. This to attain, whether heaven move or earth, imports not, if thou reckon right. The rest, from man or angel, the great architect did wisely to conceal, and not divulge his secrets to be scanned by them who ought rather admire. Or if they list to try conjecture, he his fabric of the heavens hath left to their disputes, perhaps to move his laughter at their quaint opinions wide hereafter, when they come to model heaven and calculate the stars, how they will wield the mighty frame, how build, unbuild, contrive to save appearances, how gird the sphere with centric and eccentric scribbled o'er, cycle and epicycle, orb in orb. Already by thy reasoning this I guess, who art to lead thy offspring, and supposest that bodies bright and greater should not serve the less not bright, nor heaven such journeys run, earth sitting still, when she alone receives the benefit. Consider first that great or bright infers not excellence. The earth, though in comparison of heaven so small nor glistering, may of solid good contain more plenty than the sun that barren shines, whose virtue on itself works no effect, but in the fruitful earth. There first received his beams, unactive else their vigour find. Yet not to earth are those bright luminaries officious, but to thee earth's habitant, and for the heaven's wide circuit let it speak the Maker's high magnificence, who built so spacious, and his line stretched out so far, that man may know he dwells not in his own, an edifice too large for him to fill, lodged in a small partition, and the rest ordained for uses to his Lord best known. The swiftness of those circles attribute, though numberless, to his omnipotence, that to corporeal substances could add speed almost spiritual. Me thou think'st not slow, who since the morning hour set out from heaven where God resides, and ere midday arrived in Eden, distance inexpressible by numbers that have name. But this I urge, admitting motion in the heavens to show invalid that which thee to doubt it moved. Not that I so affirm, though so it seem to thee who hast thy dwelling here on earth. God, to remove his ways from human sense, placed heaven from earth so far, that earthly sight, if it presume, might err in things too high, and no advantage gain. What if the sun be centre to the world, and other stars by his attractive virtue and their own incited, dance about him various rounds? Their wandering course now high, now low, then hid, progressive, retrograde, or standing still, in six thou seest, and what if seventh to these the planet Earth, so steadfast though she seem, insensibly three different motions move? Which else to several spheres thou must ascribe, moved contrary, with thwart obliquities, or save the sun his labour, and that swift nocturnal and diurnal rhomb supposed, invisible else above all stars, the wheel of day and night, which needs not thy belief. If earth industrious of herself fetch day travelling east, and with her part averse from the sun's beam meet night, her other part still luminous by his ray? What if that light sent from her through the wide transpicuous air to the terrestrial moon be as a star enlightening her by day as she by night this earth? Reciprocal, if land be there, fields and inhabitants, her spots thou seest as clouds, and clouds may rain, and rain produce fruits in her softened soil, for some to eat allotted there, and other suns, perhaps, with their attendant moons thou wilt descry, communicating male and female light, which two great sexes animate the world, stored in each orb, perhaps, with some that live. For such vast room in nature unpossessed by living soul, desert and desolate only to shine, yet scarce to contribute each orb a glimpse of light, conveyed so far down to this habitable, which returns light back to them, is obvious to dispute. But whether thus these things, or whether not, whether the sun predominant in heaven rise on the earth, or earth rise on the sun, he from the east his flaming road begin, or she from west her silent course advance with inoffensive pace that spinning sleeps on her soft axle, while she paces even and bears thee soft with the smooth air along, solicit not thy thoughts with matters hid, leave them to God above, him serve and fear. Of other creatures as him pleases best, wherever placed, let him dispose. Joy thou in what he gives to thee, this paradise and thy fair eve. Heaven is for thee too high to know what passes there. Be lowly wise. Think only what concerns thee and thy being. Dream not of other worlds, what creatures there live, in what state, condition, or degree, contented that thus far hath been revealed not of earth only, but of highest heaven. To whom thus Adam, cleared of doubt, replied, How fully hast thou satisfied me, pure intelligence of heaven, angel serene, and freed from intricacies, taught to live the easiest way, nor with perplexing thoughts to interrupt the sweet of life, from which God hath bid dwell far off all anxious cares, and not molest us, unless we ourselves seek them with wandering thoughts and notions vain. But apt the mind or fancy is to rove unchecked, and of her roving is no end, till warned or by experience taught she learn, that not to know at large of things remote from use, obscure and subtle, but to know that which before us lies in daily life is the prime wisdom, what is more is fume or emptiness or fond impertinence, and renders us in things that most concern unpractised, unprepared, and still to seek. Therefore from this high pitch let us descend a lower flight, and speak of things at hand useful, whence haply mention may arise of something not unseasonable to ask by sufferance, and thy wonted favour deigned. Thee I have heard relating what was done ere my remembrance. Now hear me relate my story, which perhaps thou hast not heard, and day is yet not spent. Till then thou seest how subtly to detain thee I devise, inviting thee to hear while I relate, fond, were it not in hope of thy reply. For while I sit with thee, I seem in heaven, and sweeter thy discourse is to my ear than fruits of palm tree pleasantest to thirst and hunger both, from labour at the hour of sweet repast. They satiate and soon fill, though pleasant, but thy words with grace divine imbued bring to their sweetness no satiety. To whom thus Raphael answered heavenly meek, Nor are thy lips ungraceful, sire of men, nor tongue ineloquent, for God on thee abundantly his gifts hath also poured inward and outward both, his image fair. Speaking or mute, all comeliness and grace attends thee, and each word each motion forms. Nor less think we in heaven of thee on earth than of our fellow servant, and inquire gladly into the ways of God with man. For God we see hath honoured thee, and set on man his equal love. Say therefore on. For I that day was absent, as befell, bound on a voyage uncouth and obscure, far on excursion toward the gates of hell. Squared in full legion, such command we had, to see that none thence issued forth a spy, or enemy, while God was in his work, lest he incensed at such eruption bold, destruction with creation might have mixed, not that they durst without his leave attempt, but us he sends upon his high behests, for state, as sovereign king, and to inure our prompt obedience. Fast we found, fast shut the dismal gates, and barricadoed strong. But long ere our approaching heard within noise other than the sound of dance or song, torment and loud lament and furious rage. Glad we returned up to the coasts of light ere Sabbath evening, so we had in charge. But thy relation now, for I attend, pleased with thy words no less than thou with mine. So spake the godlike power, and thus our sire. For man to tell how human life began is hard, for who himself beginning knew. Desire with thee still longer to converse induced me. As new waked from soundest sleep, soft on the flowery herb I found me laid in balmy sweat, which with his beams the sun soon dried, and on the reeking moisture fed. Straight toward heaven my wondering eyes I turned, and gazed awhile the ample sky, till raised by quick instinctive motion up I sprung, as thitherward endeavouring, and upright stood on my feet. About me round I saw hill, dale, and shady woods, and sunny plains, and liquid laps of murmuring streams, by these creatures that lived, and moved, and walked, or flew, birds on the branches warbling, all things smiled, with fragrance and with joy my heart o'erflowed. Myself I then perused, and limb by limb surveyed, and sometimes went, and sometimes ran with supple joints, and lively vigour led. But who I was, or where, or from what cause knew not. To speak I tried, and forthwith spake. My tongue obeyed, and readily could name whate'er I saw. Thou sun, said I, fair light, and thou enlightened earth so fresh and gay, ye hills and dales, ye rivers, woods, and plains, and ye that live and move, fair creatures, tell. Tell, if ye saw, how came I thus, how here? Not of myself, by some great Maker, then, in goodness and in power preeminent. Tell me, how may I know him, how adore, from whom I have that thus I move and live, and feel that I am happier than I know? While thus I called, and strayed I knew not whither, from where I first drew air, and first beheld this happy light, when answer none returned, on a green shady bank, profuse of flowers, pensive I sat me down. There gentle sleep first found me, and with soft oppression seized my drowsed sense, untroubled, though I thought I then was passing to my former state, insensible, and forthwith to dissolve, when suddenly stood at my head a dream, whose inward apparition gently moved my fancy to believe I yet had being, and lived. One came, methought, of shape divine, and said, Thy mansion wants thee, Adam. Rise, first man, of men innumerable, ordained first father. Called by thee I come thy guide to the garden of bliss, thy seat prepared. So saying, by the hand he took me raised, and over fields and waters, as in air, smooth, sliding, without step, last led me up a woody mountain, whose high top was plain, a circuit wide, enclosed with goodliest trees, planted with walks and bowers, that what I saw of earth before scarce pleasant seemed. Each tree loaden with fairest fruit that hung to the eye tempting, stirred in me sudden appetite to pluck and eat, whereat I waked, and found before mine eyes all real, as the dream had lively shadowed. Here had new begun my wandering, had not he who was my guide up hither from among the trees appeared, presence divine. Rejoicing but with awe in adoration at his feet I fell, submiss, he reared me, and whom thou sought'st I am, said mildly, author of all this thou seest, above or round about thee or beneath, this paradise I give thee. Count it thine to till and keep, and of the fruit to eat. Of every tree that in the garden grows, eat freely with glad heart. Fear here no dearth. But of the tree whose operation brings knowledge of good and ill, which I have set the pledge of thy obedience and thy faith, amid the garden by the tree of life, remember what I warn thee, shun to taste, and shun the bitter consequence. For know, the day thou eat'st thereof my sole command transgressed, inevitably thou shalt die. From that day mortal and this happy state shalt lose, expelled from hence into a world of woe and sorrow. Sternly he pronounced the rigid interdiction, which resounds yet dreadful in mine ear, though in my choice not to incur. But soon his clear aspect returned, and gracious purpose thus renewed. Not only these fair bounds, but all the earth to thee and to thy race I give, as lords possess it, and all things that therein live, or live in sea or air, beast, fish, and fowl, in sign whereof each bird and beast behold after their kinds. I bring them to receive from thee their names, and pay thee fealty with low subjection. Understand the same of fish within their watery residence, not hither summoned, since they cannot change their element to draw the thinner air. As thus he spake, each bird and beast behold, approaching two and two, these cowering low with blandishment, each bird stooped on his wing. I named them as they passed, and understood their nature. With such knowledge God endued my sudden apprehension. But in these I found not what methought I wanted still, and to the heavenly vision thus presumed. O by what name, for thou above all these, above mankind, or aught than mankind higher, surpassest far my naming, how may I adore thee, author of this universe, and all this good to man, for whose well-being so amply and with hands so liberal thou hast provided all things? But with me I see not who partakes. In solitude what happiness, who can enjoy alone, or all enjoying what contentment find? Thus I presumptuous, and the vision bright, as with a smile more brightened, thus replied. What call'st thou solitude, is not the earth with various living creatures, and the air replenished, and all these at thy command to come and play before thee? Know'st thou not their language and their ways? They also know, and reason not contemptibly. With these find pastime and bear rule, thy realm is large. So spake the universal Lord, and seemed so ordering. I with leave of speech implored, and humble deprecation thus replied. Let not my words offend thee, heavenly power, my maker, be propitious while I speak. Hast thou not made me here thy substitute, and these inferior far beneath me set? Among unequals what society consort, what harmony or true delight, which must be mutual in proportion due given and received, but in disparity the one intense, the other still remiss, cannot well suit with either, but soon prove tedious alike. Of fellowship I speak, such as I seek, fit to participate all rational delight, wherein the brute cannot be human consort. They rejoice each with their kind, lion with lioness, so fitly them in pairs thou hast combined. Much less can bird with beast, or fish with fowl so well converse, nor with the ox the ape. Worse then can man with beast, and least of all. Whereto the Almighty answered, not displeased, A nice and subtle happiness I see thou to thyself proposest, in the choice of thy associates, Adam, and wilt taste no pleasure, though in pleasure solitary. What think'st thou then of me and this my state? Seem I to think sufficiently possessed of happiness or not, who am alone from all eternity? For none I know second to me or like, equal much less. How have I then with whom to hold converse, save with the creatures which I made, and those to me inferior, infinite descents beneath what other creatures are to thee? He ceased. I lowly answered, To attain the height and depth of thy eternal ways, all human thoughts come short, supreme of things. Thou in thyself art perfect, and in thee is no deficience found. Not so is man, but in degree, the cause of his desire by conversation with his like to help or solace his defects. No need that thou shouldst propagate, already infinite, and through all numbers absolute though one. But man by number is to manifest his single imperfection, and beget like of his like, his image multiplied, in unity defective, which requires collateral love and dearest amity. Thou in thy secrecy, although alone, best with thyself accompanied, seek'st not social communication, yet so pleased, canst raise thy creature to what height thou wilt of union or communion, deified. I by conversing cannot these erect from prone, nor in their ways complacence find. Thus I emboldened spake, and freedom used permissive, and acceptance found, which gained this answer from the gracious voice divine. Thus far to try thee, Adam, I was pleased, and find thee knowing not of beasts alone, which thou hast rightly named, but of thyself, expressing well the spirit within thee free, my image not imparted to the brute, whose fellowship therefore unmeet for thee good reason was thou freely shouldst dislike, and be so minded still. I, ere thou spakest, knew it not good for man to be alone, and no such company as then thou sawest intended thee, for trial only brought, to see how thou couldst judge of fit and meet. What next I bring shall please thee, be assured. Thy likeness, thy fit help, thy other self, thy wish exactly to thy heart's desire. He ended, or I heard no more, for now my earthly by his heavenly overpowered, which it had long stood under, strained to the height in that celestial colloquy sublime, as with an object that excels the sense, dazzled and spent, sunk down and sought repair of sleep, which instantly fell on me, called by nature as in aid, and closed mine eyes. Mine eyes he closed, but open left the cell of fancy, my internal sight, by which abstract as in a trance methought I saw, though sleeping where I lay, and saw the shape still glorious before whom awake I stood, who stooping opened my left side, and took from thence a rib with cordial spirits warm, and life blood streaming fresh. Wide was the wound, but suddenly with flesh filled up and healed. The rib he formed and fashioned with his hands. Under his forming hands a creature grew, manlike, but different sex, so lovely fair that what seemed fair in all the world seemed now mean, or in her summed up, in her contained, and in her looks, which from that time infused sweetness into my heart, unfelt before, and into all things from her air inspired the spirit of love and amorous delight. She disappeared and left me dark. I waked to find her, or for ever to deplore her loss, and other pleasures all abjure. When out of hope, behold her not far off, such as I saw her in my dream, adorned with what all earth or heaven could bestow to make her amiable. On she came, led by her heavenly Maker, though unseen, and guided by his voice, nor uninformed of nuptial sanctity and marriage rites. Grace was in all her steps, heaven in her eye, in every gesture dignity and love. I overjoyed could not forbear aloud. This turn hath made amends. Thou hast fulfilled thy words, Creator bounteous and benign, giver of all things fair, but fairest this of all thy gifts, nor enviest. I now see bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, myself before me. Woman is her name, of man extracted. For this cause he shall forego father and mother, and to his wife adhere, and they shall be one flesh, one heart, one soul. She heard me thus, and though divinely brought, yet innocence and virgin modesty, her virtue and the conscience of her worth, that would be wooed and not unsought, be won, not obvious, not obtrusive, but retired, the more desirable, or to say all, nature herself, though pure of sinful thought, wrought in her so, that seeing me, she turned. I followed her, she what was honour knew, and with obsequious majesty approved my pleaded reason. To the nuptial bower I led her, blushing like the morn. All heaven and happy constellations on that hour shed their selectest influence. The earth gave sign of gratulation, and each hill. Joyous the birds, fresh gales and gentle airs whispered it to the woods, and from their wings flung rose, flung odours from the spicy shrub, disporting till the amorous bird of night sung spousal, and bid haste the evening star on his hilltop to light the bridal lamp. Thus I have told thee all my state, and brought my story to the sum of earthly bliss which I enjoy, and must confess to find in all things else delight indeed. But such, as used or not, works in the mind no change, nor vehement desire, these delicacies, I mean, of taste, sight, smell, herbs, fruits and flowers, walks, and the melody of birds, but here far otherwise, transported I behold, transported touch, here passion first I felt, commotion strange, in all enjoyments else superior and unmoved, here only weak against the charm of beauty's powerful glance. Or nature failed in me, and left some part not proof enough such object to sustain, or from my side subducting took perhaps more than enough, at least on her bestowed too much of ornament, in outward show elaborate, of inward less exact. For well I understand in the prime end of nature her the inferior, in the mind and inward faculties which most excel, in outward also her resembling less his image who made both, and less expressing the character of that dominion given o'er other creatures, yet when I approach her loveliness, so absolute she seems, and in herself complete, so well to know her own, that what she wills to do or say seems wisest, virtuousest, discreetest, best. All higher knowledge in her presence falls degraded, wisdom in discourse with her loses discountenanced, and like folly shows, authority and reason on her wait as one intended first, not after made, occasionally, and to consummate all, greatness of mind and nobleness their seat build in her loveliest, and create an awe about her, as a guard angelic placed. To whom the angel, with contracted brow, "Accuse not nature, she hath done her part. Do thou but thine, and be not diffident of wisdom, she deserts thee not, if thou dismiss her not, when most thou need'st her nigh, by attributing overmuch to things less excellent, as thou thyself perceivest. For what admirest thou, what transports thee so, an outside? Fair, no doubt, and worthy well thy cherishing, thy honouring, and thy love, not thy subjection. Weigh with her thyself, then value. Oft-times nothing profits more than self-esteem, grounded on just and right well-managed. Of that skill the more thou knowest, the more she will acknowledge thee her head, and to realities yield all her shows. Made so adorn for thy delight the more, so awful that with honour thou mayest love thy mate, who sees when thou art seen least wise. But if the sense of touch whereby mankind is propagated seem such dear delight beyond all other, think the same vouchsafed to cattle and each beast, which would not be to them made common and divulged, if aught therein enjoyed were worthy to subdue the soul of man, or passion in him move. What higher in her society thou find'st attractive, human, rational, love still, in loving thou dost well, in passion not, wherein true love consists not. Love refines the thoughts and heart enlarges, hath his seat in reason and is judicious, is the scale by which to heavenly love thou mayst ascend, not sunk in carnal pleasure, for which cause among the beasts no mate for thee was found. To whom thus half abashed, Adam replied, "Neither her outside formed so fair, nor aught in procreation common to all kinds, though higher of the genial bed by far, and with mysterious reverence I deem, so much delights me as those graceful acts, those thousand decencies that daily flow from all her words and actions, mixed with love and sweet compliance, which declare unfeigned union of mind, or in us both one soul, harmony to behold in wedded pair more grateful than harmonious sound to the ear. Yet these subject not. I to thee disclose what inward thence I feel, not therefore foiled, who meet with various objects, from the sense variously representing, yet still free approve the best, and follow what I approve. To love thou blam'st me not, for love, thou sayest, leads up to heaven, is both the way and guide. Bear with me, then, if lawful, what I ask. Love not the heavenly spirits, and how their love express they, by looks only, or do they mix irradiance, virtual or immediate touch? To whom the angel, with a smile that glowed celestial rosy red, love's proper hue, answered, "Let it suffice thee that thou knowest us happy, and without love no happiness. Whatever pure thou in the body enjoyest, and pure thou wert created, we enjoy in eminence, and obstacle find none of membrane, joint, or limb, exclusive bars, easier than air with air if spirits embrace, total they mix, union of pure with pure desiring, nor restrained conveyance need as flesh to mix with flesh, or soul with soul. But I can now no more. The parting sun beyond the earth's green cape and verdant isles Hesperian sets, my signal to depart. Be strong, live happy, and love. But first of all, him whom to love is to obey, and keep his great command. Take heed lest passion sway thy judgment to do aught which else free will would not admit. Thine and of all thy sons the weal or woe in thee is placed, beware. I in thy persevering shall rejoice, and all the blessed stand fast. To stand or fall, free in thine own arbitrament it lies. Perfect within, no outward aid require, and all temptation to transgress repel. So saying he arose, whom Adam thus followed with benediction. Since to part go, heavenly guest, ethereal messenger, sent from whose sovereign goodness I adore, gentle to me and affable hath been thy condescension, and shall be honoured ever with grateful memory. Thou to mankind be good and friendly still, and oft return. So parted they, the angel up to heaven from the thick shade, and Adam to his bower.